First of all, great work on this, Chris. Go over some of the specifics if you can. How does this shake down, and how exactly did Colorado do Calgary this immense favor, as it turns out?
Well, I mean, it seems to me that, a bizarre story really had one more twist in it. And, this probably would have ended up being fought by the lawyers, I'm guessing. I mean, we're sort of dealing in a bit of a hypothetical at this point. But, as it was explained to me, Ryan O'Reilly was on the reserve list for Colorado Avalanche during this time. And as a result, that exempts him from waivers now that they've signed him. Of course, a player can only be on the reserve list of one team, and he was not on Calgary's reserve list. And I think where it's a little bit unclear is some of the language put into the memorandum of understanding that would... Hello?
Yep, we got you, Chris. Sorry.
Oh, and, some of the language that was put into the memorandum of understanding that was signed back in January suggested that RFAs were exempted. But, I think that the one interpretation that was given to me was that was only your own RFAs, not in a case of an offer sheet like Calgary would have had. So either way, it definitely would have been interesting had O'Reilly, in fact, not been matched by Colorado and, might have been subjected to, somebody would have been subjected to waivers next week for Calgary.
So the situation is that most GMs, a lot of GMs with what's on their plate may miss this. There's no doubt in my mind guys would miss this. I'm surprised, between the agents, between the management, that this falls through the cracks. Now, what happens here is, where are the people, the contract specialists in your office? Where are the guys that are responsible for your cap, your contract negotiations, knowing the CBA inside out, knowing what's going on at the league office with respect to waivers? This is something that just cannot fall through the cracks, because this can set a franchise. If in fact this would have happened and Colorado lost on this situation, this could have set this franchise back 10 years. Frightening.
But in this situation, I will say that it appears to have slipped through the cracks on a number of levels, because, when I first got in touch with the NHL, they didn't believe that Ryan O'Reilly had played beyond January 19th when the season started over in Russia. And I was able to reach out to his coach there, Paul Maurice, and he confirmed he played in games January 21st and 23rd. So,
but it's on their website, their English website, that he played two games, and it shows his ice time. Jeff Merrick looked that up.
Yeah, it's the KHL has an English website now, and the first thing I did when I saw your story, Chris, was I went to the KHL website and looked at the 21st. You played against Akbars Kazan, Traktor against on the 23rd.
I had tickets for that game.
Yeah, I know. You had to bow out of that one. You had some sports that responsibilities. But, I mean, it's right there playing for everybody. If I can find it, how does no one else in the NHL find it?
Well, I guess the question is, if you're putting out these kind of dollars and this and you're prepared to pay a first and a third and do this, don't you have to know every fact? And Newport Sports, who manage this player, were they not aware he had played these two games? I don't know. I mean, look, I understand it. It's easy for us to sit here on the pulpit and be critical, but this would have been a disaster for the Calgary Flames.
What would have been interesting to know is, did Greg Sherman in Colorado know he played those two games?
I don't know. I would think they're keeping tabs on how many games their player is playing in Russia and when he played them.
Or here's another one. Would the other teams around the NHL have known that he played those games and then for that reason stayed away from an offer sheet themselves?
I would be surprised if other teams delved into it that closely unless they were considering making a offer sheet. It's not typical that you would jump in unless you were in the hunt to do an offer sheet.
Well, and as I mentioned, guys, I think some of the confusion, if you will, or around this is that, obviously the CBA in its full form was only just completed there middle of February, and teams were working off the memorandum of understanding, but I think there could have been maybe some interpretation issues with it as well. I mean, it's a bit of a gray area, no doubt, but it does appear, from what I've been told, that he likely would have had to go on waivers, had he gone through and been with the Flames.
Well, we've talked to people at the NHL office who essentially have confirmed it.
Yep.
It's ugly. That's frightening.
You got confirmation from Bill Daly, correct?
Yes. And I guess I saw there was a quote floating out there from Daly in the Twitterverse, denying the story, and I went back to Bill, and he said that was erroneous.
Wow.
As Brian Burke was quoted today saying, the Twitter world is talk radio on steroids. And that's one of the more accurate things Brian Burke has said in the last 4 years.
That's testosterone.
You can, by the way, do yourself a favor and read Chris's piece at sportsnet.ca. Great job on this one, Chris. We'll catch up soon.